Get your Bibles out. We're going to use them a lot. I think this lesson should take me at least 2 weeks, and then we'll have our Christmas, and I'll probably spend another couple weeks thereafter on the same type of parts of the topic here. But I want to help you tonight. I'm going to take a few Wednesday nights and teach on soul winning, and some of it will be different than what you're used to. Some of it will be very practical. All of it will be very helpful. Take your Bible, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I want you to lick your finger. Well, don't stick it in your neighbor's ear, though. Get your fingers ready and your pages ready. Only lick it if you knew where it was last. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. That was pretty good, wasn't it, Brother Greg? The look I got on his face was worth it all. Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, look at verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We'll look at verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, look at me, keep your Bibles open, we're going to use them tonight. Jesus, in these three passages, is getting ready to go back to heaven. He's lived here on earth the 33 plus years that he lived. He was crucified, he was buried, he resurrected after 3 days and three nights, and he spent 40 days on earth after the resurrection. Now, this is the end of those 40 days. All three passages we read were what we would call the last words that Jesus spake before he went back to heaven. Now I realize all of the word of God are God's words. But these are the last words he gave us while he was here from his own mouth and from his own presence while he was here. Did you know somebody's last words are generally pretty important? You know, usually if you know that you're going to leave somewhere and never see them again, your last words are pretty important. Jesus' last words to us are a command. It is a challenge or a charge. By the way, he came and paid our sin debt in full, did he not? When he went back to heaven, it had nothing to do with paying our sin debt. It was already done. But he left us an instruction that I want you to see. He did all that he said he would do. He left to us the responsibility to get the gospel out to the rest of humanity. Jesus took care of salvation. Now look at me. Jesus took care of the price of salvation. He lived the sinless life. He shed his blood. He died. He resurrected, he put his blood on the mercy seat, he came back to prove his resurrection. He left on you and me the responsibility to take that message to everybody else across the world. It is, boy, this is going to sound bad. You're going to think I'm preaching heresy. It's not God's job to get the gospel out, it's ours. If we don't do it, whose fault is it? God left the responsibility of getting the gospel out to man. I'll make a statement now that I'll make again at the end. Most religion places the responsibility of the gospel on God. It's on man, not God. That's why you have the Calvinists who say, well, God predestined everybody to be saved. That means they're too lazy to get off their blessed assurance and go knock on door, tell some lost sinner how to get saved. Well, we'll take a survey and find those that are most likely to get saved. That's somebody playing God, and that's not what God said. God didn't say go into all the world and take a survey. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I'm about ready to come unscrewed. Why do we then think, by the way, we can't save anybody. It's not our job to see people get saved. It's our job to get the gospel out. Amen. Let me say that again. It's not our job to see people get saved. It's our job to get the gospel out. That's why Jesus said, if you knock on somebody's door and they won't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next door, find somebody that'll listen. Amen. You did your part by getting the gospel out. We can't save anybody anyway.
Right.
I'm going to preach a sermon during next year. I already have it planned. Did you know there's no such thing as being a spiritual parent? You didn't birth them. He did. Who are you to take God's job? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I'm rolling a whole bunch of sermons into one, but getting ahead of myself. Why then do we think it's so difficult to give the gospel out? Why is it that we struggle to tell our fellow human beings what the gospel is all about? Why do we save people who are headed for heaven find it so difficult to give the gospel out to everyone who is on their way to hell? Have you ever wondered that? Why is it so hard for us to break through this fear of, oh, I got to tell somebody? Yeah. You see, Jesus told us in his final words that the responsibility is on us to get the message out. We call it soul winning. I am convinced that soul winning is as good for the saved as it is for the lost person who needs to get saved.
That's right.
I am convinced that it is as good for the Christian to become a soul winner as it is for the lost person to receive the gospel and get saved. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody going to hell. But soul winning was given by Jesus to us, the saved, not to the lost. You know, Jesus didn't commission any lost people. He commissioned the saved people. And yet most of us act like the Catholics or the Methodists or the Episcopalians or the Presbyterians or the Calvinists. Well, we'll let God sort out who is and who isn't. We'll just see what happens. And it's up to God whether they get saved or not. Quit blaming God for your laziness. Everybody doing okay? He didn't leave it up to the lost to figure it out on their own. He said, I'm putting that back on you. You're saved. Go out and tell everybody. I didn't say it. He did. Those were his last words. Now, listen to me very carefully. He did all the work. It's our job now just to get the gospel out. I'm going to give you about 7 or 8 things over the next 2 weeks. We're going to look at them a little bit in depth here. And I want to help you about soul winning. Number one, lost people or unsaved people die and go to hell.
You're right.
Lost people or unsaved people die and go to hell. Let me ask you a question. It's a loaded question. How many of you, and don't answer out loud, could stand to watch somebody burn to death? I've heard the screams one time and hope to God it never happens again. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would allow somebody to walk into a situation that you knew that if they walked into, they were going to burn themselves to death. Then why in the world do we let people die and go to hell and burn forever? Have you ever wondered? You would do everything you could to stop them physically, but you'll let them die spiritually and go to hell, and it does not bother us. You won't tell anybody about him. You won't warn them about what they're about to do. Why are we afraid to warn people about a place called hell? Why are we afraid to tell people that Jesus came and paid their sin debt for them and that they don't have to die and go to a devil's hell for eternity? Why are we so afraid of that? If their house was on fire, would you drive by and say, "Oh, those poor people. I hope nobody's in there. I hope they get out." Or would you stop and make sure? Would you stop and make sure somebody was there to put it out? Then why do we let people die and go to hell? Woe be to the preachers who have quit preaching on hell. Woe be to the preachers who have changed the gospel and are sending people to hell with the wrong doctrine. May I say this, hell is just as real as heaven is. As excited as you are about going to heaven someday, somebody will die and go to hell. 6.5 billion people on the face of the earth. I'll use this probably next week. Do you realize that 2 people every second die in the world? Every tick of the clock, 2 people die. 120 people a minute. Since we started this church service, 380 people have died. Most of them are in hell. Think about it. Did you know Jesus spoke more of hell than he did heaven? I preached a whole sermon a few weeks ago on the topic of hell. You say, why? Because hell is real. You see, we don't know who is saved and we don't know who is lost, so I guess we ought to tell everybody.
That's good.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. It's not my job to judge whether they're saved or not. When I knock on a door and an old sinner comes to the door and I say, "Sir, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday?" "Oh, yeah, I'm sure." "How do you know that?" "Well," and they begin to tell me about getting saved. I believe them. Or maybe they say, "Pretty sure I am." And I go through the gospel with them and they said, "You know what? I did that one as a boy. Did that as a child." I don't say, "Are you sure?" If they did it, they did it. Who am I to judge?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I've gotten the gospel to them. That's my responsibility. Whether they say a prayer or not isn't a notch in my belt in heaven. It's a matter of just getting the gospel out. "Well, they did this, but I'm not sure they really meant it." "Let me see your nail prints. Who made you God?" "Well, they said they did it, but they sure aren't living it." "Well, I know a lot of fruit trees that don't bring forth any fruit worth eating. Doesn't change the fact they're a fruit tree. If it's an apple tree and it doesn't have any apples, it doesn't make it a cherry tree. Just because it doesn't have the fruit you're looking for doesn't mean it's not an apple tree." You know, we don't know who's saved and who's lost. We just ought to tell everybody. This one on the platform as a child. Before he was ever saved. You have to understand, my kids weren't church mice. They were church rats. They grew up at church and they lived at church. It wasn't, "Are we going to church today?" It's, "What are we going to church for today?" Am I right? How long are we going to be there? What kind of trouble can I get into today? But my kids grew up around soul winning. We would be driving from point A to point B, and he'd look out the window and say, "That's a big plane up there, Daddy. How many people will it hold?" "I don't know, 150, 200 people. I wonder how many of them are saved." He wasn't even saved himself. He's 3 years old. Sitting at a restaurant. We were at Poppin' Fresh Pies. I know exactly where we were at, right there on 30 and 41 in Schererville. You know right where it's at there, out across street from Strack and Van Teel's. Yeah, Joe's eating a lot of pie there. A lot of pie there. We were sitting there one day, and a little waitress came up, and my wife and I and Josh were sitting there. I'm not sure. I'm sure Jeff was, because that was in Indiana, so he was there. I don't think we had Mindy yet. Praise the Lord. No. But Jeff would have been just a baby, small child. Josh was sitting there, and of course the waitresses talking to the little ones, trying to earn her tip, doing a good job. And Josh had talked to a busy signal. He didn't care. He still doesn't. He looked at her and he said, "Are you saved?" And she looked down and said, "No, but are you going to save me?" As only a 3 or 4 year old child could do. "Nope, but my mom or dad will." Man, it's put up or shut up at that point in time. Say, "What happened, man? I'm grabbing for a track." And then winning a waitress to Christ, standing at the end of a table because of a child. "Are you saved?" "No shame at all." Got to be careful. His mama took him to the grocery store. "Mama, that guy's smoking. He's going to go to hell." Big old grizzly bear, you know, my wife. Shut up. Wait a minute. Two things about that. He understood people were going to die and go to hell if they didn't get saved. And he didn't know all to say, but he knew his mom and dad could tell somebody because he'd watched them do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Let me ask you a question. Who's going to die and go to hell because we don't tell them? Who at work will die and go to hell because we don't tell them? Who at school will die and go to hell because we don't tell them? Who that we do business with or out in the community in our neighborhoods will die and go to hell because we did not tell them? One of the most convicting things I ever did was preach a funeral for my neighbor when we just moved in. I never met him. I saw him in his yard twice and waved at him. Next thing I found out, he fell over dead with a heart attack and died. I had never talked to him. End up preaching his funeral. I think we had 14, 15 people saved. A bunch of my neighbors got saved. Praise the Lord for that. I had a couple of them get saved that won't talk to me anymore. It's life. They're Southern Baptists. They need to get saved. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to let people die and go to hell if I could help it. And that I wasn't going to be intimidated by them. Folks, they're the ones going to hell, not you. What do we have to lose? My favorite statement. Well, I don't want to push them away. How much farther than hell can they go? How much farther than hell can they go? I got to move on, number two. First of all, we have to realize lost people or unsaved people die and go to hell. Number two, love for Christ should make us want to get people to get the gospel out. Yes, love for Christ should want us to get the gospel out. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to listen carefully to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace... Wait a minute, I'm in chapter 4, aren't I? I'm sorry. Chapter 4, 5, verse 14. That was close. I was only in chapter off. I'll get there eventually. I'll keep reading till I find it. Chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Wow. That means this: for the love of Christ constrains us. Say, what is that? Because we're all sinners, he died for everybody, and we ought not let somebody intimidate us to tell them, keep from telling them the gospel. That's what verse 15 is all about. He died for everybody. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Everybody look at me for a second. I've been put in some pretty rough situations to witness to people. When you're a pastor, you don't get all the glorious situations. Preacher, somebody's dying. Get here quick. Now, they make great stories if they get saved, but you don't hear about the ones that don't get saved, die, and go to hell. Because those aren't as fun. I get the big tough ones that, you know, well, preacher, we want you to go see this person, but they've shot at preachers before. They chase people off. Yeah, I've won two men to Christ in the last couple of years who have literally shot at preachers' feet to get them off their property. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I was packing too. Shooting me out, shoot back. Since you're going to die today, do you know you're going to heaven, you know? No, I didn't do that yet. But I promise you one thing. It does make you think a little bit. And you say, okay, God, this is for you. All I can do is give them the gospel. Whether they get saved or not, it's up to them. You know, most of them, once you break through the fact that they're a little tough on the outside, they get warm and squishy on the inside. Miss Wally's back there smiling about Fred. Remember, she said, no, don't go talk to Fred. You don't want to talk to Fred. Yeah, I want to talk to Fred. No, you don't want to talk to Fred. Yeah, I want to talk to Fred. You don't know Fred. That's okay. I'll get to know Fred. Guess what? He got saved. Now, he's a hard head. Took me a while, but we finally got him. You say, why? Because I love Christ enough that I'd love people. You see, saved people, listen to this, have the Holy Spirit in them. Now watch this. And the Holy Spirit wants lost people to get saved for God's sake, because he is God. Did you know that it's the Holy Spirit that gives salvation? And if you're saved and this person's lost, the Holy Spirit of God saying, I want to win him. Get him the gospel. I want him to get saved. God wants him saved. Now tell him. That's called the Holy Spirit. It's not that he's convicting you. He's excited about somebody getting the gospel and the potential of them getting saved so that he can multiply himself and dwell inside him too. Let me say this appropriately. How many of you would be excited about a new baby in your family? Now, if you're my age, grandchild. Or my dad's age, a child. I mean, a great-grandchild. But you'd be excited about the news of a birth in your family. Raise your hand while it's here. Huh. Guess what? You think you're excited about news of a birth in the family? How do you think God would feel? Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the Spirit of God. And you as a saved person have the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit wants to see that person get saved so they can be restored to the Father and have the same relationship as you have. It's that easy. Now watch this. Go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And I'm in the right chapter this time. Romans chapter 9. Hey, nobody said I was perfect. Romans chapter 9, verse number 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory of the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises of God. And I could go on and on and on. And God is using Paul here to say, look, I am so burdened about the people of Israel and people to get saved, I'm almost willing for Christ to curse me so they would get saved. Now, I haven't gotten that far yet. But I have pled with an awful lot of people to get saved. Well, you watched me with Fred several times. He's about ready to die. Fred, if you die right now, you're going to bust hell wide open. You need to get saved. I'm not ready yet. Well, you better get there. I didn't give up. One time he told me he got saved, and he didn't. A week later, he couldn't live with it, and he called me to the house and said, I lied to you. I knew we were getting close because the Lord is bothering him. Wally was mad as a wet hen, but I said, no, this is a good thing. He finally told the truth. Oh, yeah, Lord's bothering him. We're getting close. We're going to break through that rock. And look what happened. It takes, folks, how much do you love him? Do you love him enough to give the gospel to somebody? Do you love him enough to restore somebody to him that he wants? People love to talk about a new birth. God calls getting saved a new birth.
Yes, sir.
If you had a new grandchild born, you'd be showing everybody, telling everybody. If you had a new great-grandchild born, great, you'd be telling everybody, showing everybody. If you're of the childbearing days, if you had a child, everybody's going to find out, and you got the pictures to prove it on your phone, Facebook, and everywhere else. That's fine. Why is then it so hard for us to let the Holy Spirit use us to see somebody else get saved? Look at John chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. You don't need to turn there. That talks about Jesus and Nicodemus. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, you must be born again, not of corruptible, or not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And salvation is a spiritual birth. Boy, that's important. It is a spiritual birth. Number 3, and I must hurry. So, lost people die and go to hell. Love for Christ should make us want to get the gospel out. How much do you love him? If I got married and told nobody who my wife was, you'd doubt whether I loved her. Let me ask you a question. Who knows you're a Christian? Because you've told them. Somebody once said it this way, if you were taken to court for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? Number 3, God commands us to get the gospel out. God commands us to get the gospel out. We read Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and all Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Mark 16, 15. Matthew 28, 28 through 30. I'm going to make some harsh statements, but let me make them very plain to you from the scripture. God did not ask you to get the gospel out. He commanded you to get the gospel out. He didn't say, get the gospel out if you feel like it. There are many times I give the gospel out and I don't feel like it. I am as much of a sinner as you are. Do you know that the word soul winning bothers me a little bit? Say why? Because my first feeling when I go to knock on a door is, Say why? Because I've been rejected a lot. I've knocked on over a million doors. I've been soul winning for almost 40 years. Almost every week of my life for 40 years, I've knocked on doors. Now think of that. Don't you think I've knocked on some doors I wished I didn't knock? I've had guns pointed at me. I've had dogs let loose. And I'm talking big dogs. I've had dogs come through screen doors at me. I've had police called on me. I've been cussed out. I've been spit on. I've been laughed at. You name it. There's probably not a situation I have not seen, nor ear heard. I learned a lot of words I didn't know before. He didn't ask us to do it when we felt like it. It is a responsibility. It is a command he placed on us. The lazy rascals, the lazy Christians will say, well, I just don't have the gift of soul winning. You won't find the gift of soul winning anywhere in that book. God didn't give some a gift to give the gospel out. He gave us the gift in the gospel. We are to take the gift to every creature. Did you catch that? It's not a spiritual gift. We're not to find a way to do it in which we're comfortable. I hate to disappoint you. If you're waiting to be comfortable to go soul winning, the whole world will die and go to hell. Because there's nothing comfortable about soul winning. There's not. It is not a comfortable subject. Good night. I've led people to the Lord that were dying. I've been underneath oxygen tents with them. I've had people that weren't, they have tubes down their throat. Can't talk. Only thing they could do is squeeze my finger. We'll led a man to the Lord in Long Beach, California, William Shantner. First person I ever led to the Lord while he was dying. I said, William, tell me you're dying. Boy, the fear in his eyes, tears running down his face, tubes in his mouth, can't talk. I said, put my hand in his hand and I put my finger there and I said, can you squeeze my finger? If you can hear me, squeeze my finger twice. I said, all right, two is going to be yes, one is going to be no. Got it? He squeezed it twice. I said, William, the Bible says we're all sinners. And I went through Romans chapter 3, verse 10, Romans 3:23, and Romans 6:23. I said, William, are you a sinner? Squeeze, squeeze. I showed him how that Jesus came and paid his sin debt and how that he deserved hell, but Jesus paid the price. I said, do you understand that? Squeeze my finger twice. I said, would you be willing by faith to accept what Jesus did and that alone to take you to heaven? He squeezed my finger once, squeezed it twice, and wouldn't let go. I said, I'm going to close my eyes. I said, I want you to tell the Lord something like this in your heart. No, you can't say it out loud. Doesn't matter. I led him through the sinner's prayer. I looked up and tears were streaming down that man's face, both sides. I said, William, did you mean it? Squeeze once, squeeze twice, and he just wouldn't stop squeezing. I preached his funeral less than a week later. By the way, that was my first funeral. That's the one where everybody got in the fist fight at. That's the one where I had one half of the family on this side, one half on that side. After I'd already gone back, I got up and I started preaching. I shouldn't have done it. Brother Josh, don't ever do it. But I'm preaching in the chapel. His casket's back here. Now, mind you, they had called the police to break up the brawl. And I had gone back to the church. They called me back from the church to come preach. Half over here, half over here. Shared it with a black preacher that was the brother who was in jail that got out for the funeral who had power of attorney. I mean, we're talking, it was a rough situation. I got to preaching. I lost myself. I forgot where I was. I hit that casket. Bang! I said, William wouldn't want you fighting. He wouldn't want you to die. I mean, I came unscrewed. After I hit that casket, it's going like this. I'm watching some ladies go like this. I thought, uh-oh. Man, I gave the gospel. I said, if you died, you'd like to trust Jesus as your Savior. Raise your hand. Man, hands went up everywhere. I said, we're not going to make this easy. I said, I want William to look over to heaven and see what's going on. I said, if you really mean business, get out of your chair and come down here and kneel at this altar at this casket. 37 people got up out of their chairs and knelt at the altar and got saved. Got done there hugging everybody. They went from fighting to hugging. I say, what'd you do? I looked at the other preacher after he closed in prayer and I said, brother, I'm getting out of here. He said, me too. He said, follow me. We're walking down the hallway. He said, brother, can I get a copy of that outline? I reached in my Bible, handed it to him. He said, I'm going to preach out in my church. I said, just don't tell him where you got it. Say, what is that, God? God wanted a whole bunch of people to get saved. He just needed somebody dumb enough to get up and tell them all. Now, I don't recommend pounding on somebody's casket. Good thing was he didn't hear it. Man, if that thing tipped over, I don't know what we'd have done. Can I tell you something? It's our responsibility to give the gospel. I've given it to them while they're dying. I watched them die and go to hell. Screaming. I'm in hell. Oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm on fire. I'm in hell. And they're gone. We're not to find a way that's convenient and easy for us. He doesn't command you to have people saved. He commands you to get the gospel out. I am not telling somebody that they need to go out until they have somebody saved. Oh, I've heard preachers preach it. You go out and you stay out till you have somebody saved, bless God. Well, not my job what they do with the gospel. It's my job just to get it out. I'm happy as a June bug on the last day of May if everybody just get the gospel out. I really believe the more people we give the gospel to, the more people will get saved. And the more you do it, the more it happens. But isn't that true with anything? I could take somebody in here that's never hit a baseball in their life and I throw enough pitches at you, eventually you'll hit the ball. The more you do it, the more opportunities you have to do it, the more chances for success there will be. God never said you had to have somebody saved. He said, take the gospel to every creature. You shall be witnesses unto me. Everybody doing okay? I've said it often. We're just the mailman delivering the mail. It's our job to get it out. What they do with it's between them and God, not between me and them. Who knows? Bible says some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. Well, I ain't have anybody saved. I'm not going soul winning. Nobody said you're going to have somebody saved every time. Son, you're what, 27? 28? The kid's been soul winning almost every day of his life, every week of his life. I mean, we carried him to the doors when he was a baby at times. Not every week of his life has he had somebody saved. But he gets the gospel out. How about you? People are going to die and go to hell. Have you at least given them the gospel? That's what soul winning is all about. I've got to quit for the night. We'll finish this next week. But it's our obligation. What was Jesus' last command to us? to get the gospel out, to go soul winning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, maybe somewhere tonight the Lord's talked to you.